free your consciousness.
I've got one that can see.
Free your consciousness.
I've got one that can see.
The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
Hello, greetings, and welcome. This is Free Your Consciousness, the DougMichaelTruth.com podcast. This is your host, Doug Michael. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, thank you for taking the time to listen with an open mind. It is January 3rd, 2020, at the time of this recording. And again, thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. This particular presentation, ladies and gentlemen, is geared towards a specific audience. For our listeners in Europe, Canada, Australia, and elsewhere, please bear with us. This is really more directed towards an American audience, and in particular, people who are residents of New York State. The title for today's presentation is New York State Bail Reform Laws, An Exercise in Insanity and a Betrayal to New York Residents. David Michael Thomas joins me. David, how are you?
I'm doing good, Doug. Good to see you. Good
you
to
too.
Be here.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And our warmest wishes to you too, ladies and gentlemen, for the new year. So this is a topic we were talking about this just the other day on the phone together, David, and it was it's amazing. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to put this out there too. Our listeners, my long-term readers and listeners know exactly how we feel. David and I both are aware of corruption in law enforcement, corruption in the courts, certainly corruption in politics. But we really wanted to address this particular topic in light of new laws that just went into effect a few days ago here in New York State. So I want to put that out there, too. You know, we're aware of this. We've spoken about these different things for a while, as being, you know, militarization of the police and all these other things we talk about. But we do want to address this topic as we feel that it is something serious that really needs to be looked at.
I think it's, Doug, I think it's fair to say we're both a bit libertarian, maybe not as completely libertarian, but we're both more in favor of live and let live, let people do what they want to do as long as they aren't harming other people.
Right.
And having as little interference from law enforcement in our daily lives as possible. But here we have, well, we're going to get into it, and it's there's some pretty hard to believe news coming out of New York State.
Yes. And what these new bail reform laws are, ladies and gentlemen, state Democrats, against the wishes of law enforcement and even the most liberal district attorneys, rammed through a series of bail reform measures, and Governor Andrew Cuomo signed the legislation into law. And what these laws are, now they're in effect. Suspects accused of crimes deemed to be, quote, nonviolent, are not jailed. So in other words, catch and release. They'll catch the criminals and release them without bail. But the thing is that on the list of crimes that they deem nonviolent, which we're going to get to, are some pretty serious crimes. And there's other little stipulations with these laws that make no sense. And we're going to talk about all that today. So please bear with us, ladies and gentlemen. Now, the law, this is from Breitbart. And as always, I will provide links to these articles underneath the audio player so you could read this stuff for yourself. The law will ensure that suspects accused of crimes deemed nonviolent are not jailed before their trial dates and do not have to post bail. Instead, these suspects are released directly back into the public and expected to show up for their court dates. Now, what has law enforcement, sheriffs, and certain judges worried statewide is that they're estimating 125,000 accused criminals are expected to be released from prison every year in New York State. And I have a feeling that other Democrat-controlled states are going to follow suit in light of this. Now, as part of the law, accused criminals... Here, this is the part that blew my mind, David. As part of these new laws, accused criminals will actually be allowed to investigate their own crime scenes and be given a list of named witnesses testifying against them within 15 days of their arraignment. The law means that if a suspect is charged with home burglary, that suspect will be allowed to return to the victim's home and inspect their property as part of their defense. Now think about that. Let's say I come and rob your house while you're away for the evening, and your neighbors spot me. They call the cops, I get arrested, they release me the same day, no bail, and I am allowed to return to that property and investigate it, and I get a list of names of the neighbors that turned me in. What do you think of that, David? Is that nuts?
That is hard to believe, and I think it's going to make it that much, it's going to make people that much less willing to participate in the process and bear witness against criminals now, mm-hmm. because the criminals will know who is testifying against them, and people won't want to put themselves in that kind of danger.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you have someone who's a criminal willing to, say, engage in armed robbery, and you, as a witness to this, know that the courts are going to give that criminal your name, that is going to deter you from wanting to get involved. You're absolutely right. I mean, now, ladies and gentlemen, I am not advocating violence, but you have every right to protect your home, your family, and your person. So if someone is breaking into your house and you're there, and that's all I'm going to say, bear that in mind. You have every right to protect your property and your family.
It seems as if just as some of the states out west have become the go-to states for homeless populations, this New York State might become the state to go to if you are a career criminal, where you have the career criminals will have the most rights.
That's unbelievable. In one recent case, this again from Breitbart, ladies and gentlemen, there will be links to the article underneath the audio player. In one recent case, a suspect in Warren County, New York, was charged with second-degree manslaughter after he allegedly killed a bystander while leading police on a high-speed chase. Though the suspect is currently behind bars awaiting trial, he will be released in January when the new bail laws go into effect. Another case last week saw an accused drug dealer who allegedly caused the death of a man who overdosed on drugs sold to him by the dealer's crew, publicly thanking Governor Cuomo for signing the jailbreak legislation, the New York Daily News reported. I'll put a link to that article as well. Cuomo for president, the accused drug dealer shouted in Spanish. I mean, that's unbelievable. Law enforcement officials have warned that if Cuomo doesn't block the jailbreak laws from taking effect, police across the state will be left continuously rearresting accused criminals and having to find suspects who fail to show up to their court dates. And as a matter of fact, I was reading our local sheriff here in Oneida County, David, was very worried about having to spend so much resources on tracking down people that don't show up to court. Because, you know, a criminal, let's say a criminal is faced with a serious crime, let's say facing 10 years, and they release them. Okay, we expect you to show up for your court date. They're out of there. Who's going to stick around? I wouldn't.
I'd be gone. And that brings up another point. I didn't think of that, Doug. You made it. That's a good point. More resources of the police departments will be devoted to getting these people to show up to court, and that's taking more resources away from keeping people safe from crime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So now law enforcement, cops, sheriffs, detectives, whatever, they're going to be spending time tracking down people that didn't show up to court. I mean, think about it. Like I said, if you're facing 10 years and they release you, your chances are, I'd say probably 90% of them will bounce. They're gone. I'd be out of the state.
If you're facing 10 years, good Lord, yeah, you'd be stupid to stick around. And it also raises the question that what they call nonviolent, it seems like nonviolent crimes in New York State can be pretty dangerous and pretty harmful to your health.
Yeah, wait till we get to the list. Some of these are not nonviolent crimes. Some of the crimes on this list, and I mean, I went hunting down at all these legal websites and made sure that I confirmed that some of the crimes on the list, though, you'd be amazed. Okay, the article continues. Across the county, jailbreak legislation is helping to free thousands of accused and convicted criminals from prison. Federally, the First Step Act that was signed into law by President Trump has thus far freed about 240 sex offenders, nearly 60 convicted murderers and assailants, as well as almost 1,000 inmates convicted of drug crimes. So this is just unbelievable, you know. Oh, but you know what I find interesting, too? This is going to make you laugh. In New York City, I had to quadruple check this because I thought it was a joke, but apparently not. In New York City, defendants will be rewarded with perks such as New York Mets tickets, movie passes, and gift cards for showing up to court. Right, so they catch and release these criminals, right? And then they offer them Mets tickets and gift cards and movie passes or whatever else so that they come back to court. For me, I'd be like, you know what? Keep your Mets tickets. I'm out of here. Who the hell would be coming back? But I just read an article this morning that people that were released from Rikers were actually trying to use their gift cards, these little prepaid Visa cards, to buy alcohol and tobacco products. And But businesses were turning them down, so you can't use that card to buy booze, you know. Just
this sounds about as logical as that Fast and Furious program that we had during the last presidential administration when they were selling guns to drug cartels,
yes,
ostensibly to track where these guns were going.
Yeah,
it seems. It's just another example of things being turned upside. It's hard to tell. You used to be able to tell the onion from the rest of the news, but now you can't.
Yeah, I know.
This is going to put the onion out of business as real news gets more and more bizarre than anything that could be made up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is just unprecedented. This is the second Breitbart article, which I'll definitely post a link to as well. In total, at least 125,000 accused criminals are likely to be released from prison in New York City every year, according to an analysis by the John Jay College of Criminal Justice. There are at least 125,000 accused criminals who, even if charged with criminally negligent homicide, would be released from prison the same day they were arrested. Of those 125,000 released accused criminals, New York City will provide taxpayer-funded subsidized housing, job training, and family counseling to 10,000 each year. The scheme, called the Atlas Program, will cost New York City taxpayers tens of millions of dollars each year. Excuse me. In 2018, New York City judges released more than 105,000 accused criminals without bail. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, in addition to providing subsidized housing and job training, is promising to give released accused criminals gifts like Mets tickets and movie passes if they show up to their court dates. Okay. Well, hey, Yankees tickets, now we're talking, but, you know. Yeah, they have to give them and who's paying for all that? Well, yeah, you are. You know, the taxpayers are paying for that.
Doug, do you see this as a... It seems as if between this and the homeless situation out west, it seems as if we're restructuring society into different classes,
yeah,
where criminals and the homeless are a new protected class that gets special privileges, and the elites, the people that govern us, are themselves their own protected class. But in the middle, the working people, the people that pay the taxes, those are the ones that have to pay for
everything.
Both of those classes to exist.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it seems that we're probably going to get into this more as the podcast goes on. But does it seem to you that this is all a grab for votes?
It's a big part of it.
From normally disenfranchised people.
I think that's a big part of it. Yeah, and I know that. Just a couple weeks ago, New York State granted undocumented migrants, you know, illegal immigrants, the right to obtain driver's license. All they do is fill out a specific form and they could go and obtain their licenses. What do you need to vote? Well, you need a license or a state ID. And now they just handed a bunch of them out to, you know, illegal immigrants. So I think that might be a big part of it. Or it might be part of a longer, a deeper agenda to just basically, like you said earlier, turn everything upside down. I think there's more to it than just buying votes. It might be part of a plan to kind of cause chaos. At the same time, down in Virginia, we've got their Democratic governor really making moves to grab guns. And you've got, I think it's 11 out of 12 different counties, something like that, that have declared themselves to be Second Amendment sanctuary cities. And then the governor turned around and said, well, I'm going to send in the National Guard. What are they trying to do, start a civil war down there? I don't know. But I think that this year we're going to see a lot unfold. This is really unprecedented. I mean, just the fact that you can investigate your own crime scene, to me, is insane. I mean, if you're the victim of a burglary, you're a victim. You've been violated. And then here's the thing. If you refuse to let the criminal back in your property to investigate, you can be arrested for contempt. And they'll probably hold you, you know, without bail. You probably need to cough up bail. Meanwhile, you're the victim, you know.
That is insane.
Although that's a nonviolent crime, too, so they probably would release you. But still, just it's the principle of that. You could be the victim of an armed burglary, and not allowing the criminal back into your property to investigate could have you arrested.
Doug, I know you compared this to, and I thought it was a very good comparison, you compared it to climbing to the top of the first hill of a roller coaster, going click, 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 and there's only a couple clicks left before we go
careening
down.
I think we're at the last click, you know, that last little click, and then all hell breaks loose and the ride goes crazy. That's where we're at, I think. It's a lot of unprecedented things are happening. I mean, again, this is a very specific topic. And people who might be new to this, who are listening to this just because you're a New Yorker and you might have stumbled across this by one reason or another, you might want to check DougMichaelTruth.com and look at some of the other topics we've covered. Some people would call it conspiratorial, but is it really? No. A lot of times, David and I really just talk about current events, or we talk about certain topics that many people aren't aware of. That does not make it conspiracy theory just because there's a lack of general awareness about, say, I don't know, Marxist subversion of Western culture or any number of topics that we talk about. We discussed UFOs in the last topic based on the United States government's disclosure of this phenomenon. So I would encourage you to look at some of the other stuff we talk about as well. And please, especially if you're in New York, share this with your friends and loved ones and spread the word. You know, even if you don't agree with the bulk of what David and I talk about, this is a very important one. And if you live in New York, it does have the potential to affect you directly.
Can you imagine? I kind of miss the days when this sort of thing would have been a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, me too.
I would much prefer this was all crazy conspiracy theory instead of actual New York state law. And you can bet if it's in New York state, it's going to be spreading to other states. If the governors and the legislators of these states see this as ways of getting votes, and they see it working in New York state, you can bet it's going to be spreading to other states.
Yeah, I think other blue states are going to follow suit. So Americans need to be aware of this. I think New York and California are in competition to see who could enact more insane laws, I tell you what. But we're going to get into a little bit now of the list of crimes. They say nonviolent, but when we examine some of these, you'll see that some of these that they list as nonviolent is ridiculous. But first on the list is assault in the third degree. And what that is, ladies and gentlemen, is reckless infliction of the fear of serious bodily injury or recklessly causing a fear of injury through the use of a deadly weapon. So in other words, we have a fender bender, I hop out of my car and I pull a knife on you and threaten to cut your face. That's assault in the third degree. Now they'll catch, you know, if I'm arrested, I'd be released the same day, catch and release there. Yeah, as a matter of fact, last year, David, a friend of mine, I'm not going to mention names or locations, anything like that, but a friend of mine and myself had a random thug pull a knife on us, and then our friends surrounded him and pulled their knives out, and we chased this guy down. We managed to chase him into a local supermarket, got the cops, got him arrested, and he was arrested for assault in the third degree. I had to go and show up in court, and he was held in there for quite a while. Now he would be released probably within a couple hours or so.
He'd be back out on the streets.
Yep. Imagine that. Imagine that happens, and then the perpetrator comes right back, which is likely that it could happen. Next on the list is aggravated vehicular assault, which is when you operate a vehicle while you are legally intoxicated meaning that your blood alcohol level is at least 0.08, or driving while your ability is impaired by drugs, DUI, I guess they call it, or you operate a vehicle while you are legally intoxicated or impaired by drugs and the vehicle has flammable gas, radioactive materials, or explosives in it, or you operate a snowmobile or ATV intoxicated. So now drunk driving, they'll let you go right away. No bail. That's incredible.
And this is in the era when I thought we were trying to, I thought we were making headway in the war against drunk driving. And it seems as if this is a step in the opposite direction, as if to say, don't, this is, we're making too much progress. We're going to let you go. Even if you harm someone while under the influence and operating your vehicle.
Well, we'll get there, because that's actually on the list, too. This is just drunk driving without causing harm. But again, we'll get there. Next on the list, this one blows my mind. Aggravated assault upon a person less than 11 years old. Now, what aggravated assault is an attempt to cause serious bodily injury to another or to cause serious bodily injury purposely, knowing, or recklessly with an extreme indifference to the value of human life. To a person less than 11. So I go smack around a little 8-year-old and I could be released the same day, no bail?
That is appalling. That one is, yeah, and is stunning.
This is where they fooled you with the with their rhetoric, saying only nonviolent crimes. Well, aggravated assault is a violent crime, especially on a child. All I have to say is if it was my son or daughter, that person would not have to worry about making it to court, and I'll just leave it at that. Next, criminally negligent homicide. That's negligent homicide. It's the killing of another person through gross negligence or without malice. So in other words, premeditated. We could say my stupidity causes the death of someone else. My absolute negligence that results in a person's death. Okay, that, because there is no premeditation, I guess you could kind of consider that a nonviolent crime. But still, I mean, some of the things aren't here. Here's the one you just mentioned, David. Aggravated vehicular homicide. Now, that's when drunk driving results in killing someone. Think of that, ladies and gentlemen. I'm driving my car drunk. I smash into your car, kill 3 members of your family. They take me to jail, and I'll be released while you're still mourning in the hospital. What the hell is this? You know, manslaughter in the second degree. Seems like a violent crime to me. You know, got behind the wheel drunk. You need to be responsible for your actions.
Boy, that's each one of these seems crazier than the one before it. I wonder where selling vape flavors fits into all this.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, now what I tried to do was look up what the average bail cost was for each of these, but it was hard to find that information. I think it's different. Each county might be different. Each court might be different. Each judge might set different bails. And then if you get a bail bond, I think you only need 10%. But, you know, when I was explaining a lot of this to some people and they weren't getting it, well, you could just post bail. I'm like, you know, many criminals can't even afford the 10% bail bond necessary to post bail. So if you got a $10,000 bail, let's say you're a burglar and you can't afford that bail, you're staying in jail till your court date. Not anymore. Now they'll just release you and say, oh, yeah, go back to the scene of the crime and investigate for yourself. Here's the names of witnesses.
And here's some movie tickets after you've investigated, after you're done conducting your investigation. Go on out and have a cappuccino with this gift card over at Starbucks.
Yeah.
Well, the victim of your crime is broke and grinding and gnashing his teeth out in the street.
All right, next on the list is manslaughter in the second degree. This occurs when a person continues with a reckless act that they are aware of committing and they consciously disregard the potentially fatal risks involved to others. Well, I don't know. Seems like it could be potentially violent.
Manslaughter in the second degree.
Sure. Unlawful imprisonment in the first degree. Okay, that's potentially nonviolent. Coercion. in the first degree. This is a criminal offense that involves one person forcing another person to do or to refrain from doing something against that person's will. Okay, so I hold you at gunpoint and make you paint my fence. That seems potentially violent to me.
Some of these look like they could cover an awful lot of different situations.
Yeah.
Like unlawful imprisonment, for example. Sometimes, if I'm not mistaken, sometimes that's considered kidnapping.
Hmm. Yeah. Or I tie you up in my basement. And refuse to release. That seems potentially violent to me. Oh, coercion. Yeah, okay. Now, there's a couple on here that get even worse, so bear with us, ladies and gentlemen. Next on the list is arson in the third and fourth degree. So I could go set a building on fire. I mean, that's potentially dangerous because let's say an adjoining apartment building catches on fire and a bunch of people die. You know, how's that a nonviolent crime? But I'm assuming they mean if I just burn a building down and cause no harm to other people, but still, arson used to be considered a very serious crime. And they're just expecting people to, oh, well, let them go, they'll show up to court. Because, you know, they're a burglar or an arsonist or a drunk driver that kills somebody, surely they could be trusted.
Mm-hmm. And they'll be back to conduct the investigation. Maybe they'll give the arsonist Mets tickets for helping to conduct the investigation.
Yeah. Next is, this one blew my mind too. Grand larceny in the first degree. And I had to look this up too. Grand larceny in the first degree. A person is guilty of grand larceny in the first degree when he steals property and when the value of the property exceeds $1 million. So, we could go, I don't know, rob a bank and steal a few million dollars worth of merchandise or money, whatever, be caught and released the same day. And be allowed to return to the bank to investigate the crime scene. Is it me or is this insane?
I wonder how Batman would feel about the Joker coming to investigate a crime.
Criminal possession of a weapon on school grounds or criminal possession of a firearm. Well, all this gun grabbing stuff we've got going on, and now all of a sudden this is on the list. Criminal possession of a weapon, okay? Not, I'm a licensed concealed carry permit. No, criminal possession of a weapon on school grounds. So, let's say I go into a school with a concealed weapon that I don't have a license for, and my intention is to shoot up a bunch of kids, I get caught. That's criminal possession of a firearm on school grounds. They're going to release me the same day. I mean, this is just nuts. What is our governor smoking up here?
I think you have a picture of him imbibing in something in one of your memes.
Yes, I'll put that up there.
It doesn't look like he's enjoying it, whatever it is.
That man doesn't look like he enjoys anything. I swear, he's New York's premier mob boss. That's what that guy is.
I think he needs some Metamucil.
Yeah, something.
Send him a case of milk and magnesia.
Next on the list is criminal possession of a controlled substance in the first and second degree. Okay, so I got a huge bag of weed, and they catch and release me. There's something like that. I could almost see, depending on what the substance is and the amount. Let's say you got a pound of cocaine and you're intending to distribute it and sell it. You know, where's the leeway here? But, I could understand something like having a bag of weed or something like that. And, you know, a slap on the wrist is fine. Criminal sale of a controlled substance in the first and second degree. Okay, they're not really saying what they mean by controlled substance. This one gets me, though. Criminal sale of a controlled substance in or near school grounds. Let's go sell some meth to kids. We'll be caught and released the same day and allowed back to the school to investigate the crime scene. Jesus.
Go back to conduct interviews. Maybe make a few sales on the side. Who knows?
This one gets me, too. This is on the list also. Specified felony drug offenses involving the use of children, including the use of a child to commit a controlled substance offense and criminal sale of a controlled substance to a child. That's what gets me. So I go sell some drugs to an 11-year-old kid, and that's not considered a violent crime. I'll be released without bail the same day. I mean, unbelievable.
Doug, I noticed that we see children mentioned again and again, and I don't know if it's too cynical for me to suggest that children can't vote. I wonder if that has something to do with it. And also, we live in a society that is promoting childless families more and more often. Mm-hmm. They want fatherless families, and they also want childless families more and more often. And it seems as if I always thought that the main purpose of a society is to protect its children, to raise children, and to protect them.
Imagine that.
And here they are, and they can't speak for themselves. They can't vote. They can't. They don't have a. What are we to make of this? It's if undocumented immigrant. If heaven forbid you were an undocumented immigrant being treated like this.
Yeah.
I mean, substitute the word undocumented or illegal alien or however you want to put it instead of child. Then you'd have all of Hollywood would be up in arms about this.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's amazing to me. Criminal sale of a controlled substance to a child. Again, it's not specific, but cocaine's a controlled substance, so is meth, so are pills, so is any number of really hardcore stuff. You know, they want to bust vape shop owners, but now this is on the list of, criminal sale of a controlled substance to a child. You know, I'm sorry, you sell something hardcore like meth to a kid, you should be thrown in jail without bail. Until your court case, and no Mets tickets either.
Isn't that a little harsh? No Mets tickets. Can you watch the game on the jail TV?
No, okay. We're not making this up, ladies and gentlemen. This is what, you know, David and I were both blown away by this. And what really gets me is some of these offenses on this list. Next is criminal solicitation in the first degree and criminal facilitation in the first degree. I couldn't find the meaning of that.
Solicitation, that's a prostitution?
Prostitution, yeah, okay. Well, something like that I could see again. That's not violent, really. But again, some of the stuff on here doesn't make sense. Money laundering in support of terrorism in the third and fourth degree. Really? So I'm laundering money through my, let's say, hardware store that's going to be used to cause havoc, and that's considered nonviolent. I could be, you know, released same day, no bail. Making a terroristic threat. Wow. Normally, you make a terroristic threat, they're locking you up and they're going to throw the key away, especially since 9/11. Patronizing a person for prostitution in a school zone. Now, I'm just curious, what kind of prostitutes work in school zones? I don't know.
I was trying to picture that. Patronizing a person for prostitution in a school zone. I'm picturing just adults involved in this, except it's taking place in a school zone.
Yeah, you know.
Patronizing person. Okay, all right. I guess
now the next one, it really gets me. Promoting an obscene sexual performance by a child. What? Wait a minute. Promoting an obscene sexual performance by a child. That is unbelievable that's on the list. Again, if it was my child involved with that, the person would not even have to worry about making it to court, and I'm just going to leave it at that. Again, I'm not advocating violence, but, I mean, my God.
Doug, this fits in with the topic we did not too long ago. It seems as if the left and Hollywood are trying to increasingly normalize sexualization of children.
Yeah, that's
seeing
right.
That as just another choice. It seems like this is just another step in that direction.
Hmm. Yeah. If something like that's not treated as a serious crime, again, something like that, they should be held without bail. Now the next. Promoting a sexual performance by a child. Failure to register as a sex offender. That used to be very punishable. I think probably used to be held without bail, I think. Next is obstructing governmental administration in the first and second degree. Then obstructing governmental administration by means of self-defense spray device. I think that means pepper spray or something.
Mace or something like that.
Then bribery in the first degree, bribe giving for public office. I mean, again, some of these are nonviolent, others are absolutely shouldn't be on this list. Promoting prison contraband in the first and second degree. Resisting arrest. Oh, boy, that used to get you in real trouble. If you were being busted for something, you resisted arrest, that would add potentially years to your sentence. There's no way you'd be released without bail, though. And now I could see why a lot of the law enforcement across the state is very, very worried about these new laws. Next is hindering prosecution. Then we've got tampering with a juror and tampering with physical evidence.
These last two, hindering prosecution, tampering with a juror, and tampering with physical evidence, it seems like a lot of what we've been talking about is just that, hindering prosecution and tampering with witnesses, or even potentially tampering with a potential juror.
Yeah.
Tampering with physical evidence. How is that not, if the criminal is conducting an investigation, how is that not tampering with physical evidence?
Yeah, absolutely. Then we've got aggravated harassment in the first degree. This one got me too. I had never heard too many fatalities occurring because of this, but just bear with us. Directing a laser at an aircraft in the first degree. Now, a person is guilty of directing a laser at an aircraft in the first degree when he or she commits the crime of directing a laser at an aircraft in the second degree in violation of section 240.76 of this article and thereby causes a significant change of course or other serious disruption to the safe travel of an aircraft that threatens the physical safety of the aircraft, passengers, and crew. Directing a laser at an aircraft in the first degree is a Class E felony. Now, could you imagine that? I've seen these really, really powerful lasers. My friend has one. It's got a range of 22 miles. It's part of like this kind of lightsaber replica. And I'm telling you, David, that thing is so bright you have to wear special goggles when you handle it so you don't go blind.
Really?
Now, if you directed an aircraft, you certainly could mess with the pilot. But just think of that. You've got a plane full of passengers. You're putting them in jeopardy. But what if that plane crashes into a crowded city area, like, say, an apartment building? I mean, the potential to kill a lot of people is there. Now you could do that, and, we'll just expect you to show up to court.
22 miles.
Yeah.
It's
incredible. Oh, yeah. It's incredible.
What does something like that cost? Do you know?
I think he paid like $350 for it or something like that.
Wow.
It's really neat. Yeah, it's got the lightsaber, and then it's got a magnet. So when you hold it, the magnet slowly rises, and it looks like the lightsaber is igniting.
Really?
But when you take that blade off, that thing's just this bright laser, and it's you could absolutely mess a pilot up with it. There's no doubt about it. But again, you know, all these lists of crimes on here. Next is criminal possession of a weapon in the fourth degree. Criminal sale of a firearm to a minor. So I go sell an 8-year-old my, semi-automatic AK-47. Ain't no problem. Oh, what are New York lawmakers thinking? Enterprise, corruption, and money laundering in the first degree. Here, I hate this one, too. Aggravated cruelty to animals. Overdriving, torturing, and injuring animals. Yeah, failure to provide sustenance. In other words, neglect and animal fighting. So you could have, say, a dog fighting ring now, and they'll release you same day, no problem. Now, this again from Breitbart. They had a few good articles on this. These so-called nonviolent crimes include second-degree manslaughter, aggravated vehicular assault, promoting an obscene sexual performance by a child, possessing an obscene sexual performance by a child, in other words, child pornography, criminally negligent homicide, and aggravated vehicular homicide. As part of the measure, defendants will have new privileges in their criminal trials, including being allowed to inspect their own crime scenes. Oh. Again, from the same article, another portion of the law will more quickly give defendants a list of named witnesses testifying against them in the criminal trial. Starting in January, the prosecution will be forced to hand over to defendants a list of named witnesses within 15 days of the defendant's arraignment. This is unbelievable. How do these criminals have rights like that? And like you said, this is going to deter people from wanting to get involved. Like your neighbor, you might really need your neighbor to say, hey, what did you see? Someone broke into my house and stole, you know, my prized, I don't know, collection of baseball cards or whatever. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I didn't see anything. Sorry. Because they don't want to be involved. Now, if someone's willing to, say, burglarize you, how do you know they're not going to be willing to, I don't know, make a witness disappear if they're facing, say, 20 years in jail, or intimidate a witness, or any number of things could happen.
It's going to make it that much harder for people to do the right thing. And I would probably think twice if I had to if I had to testify and I knew that the perpetrator was a violent person, was a violent criminal. I mean, you got to. I mean, it's, and especially now as the police are going to be increasingly distracted by trying to get people to show up for court, are they going to be available to, are they going to be there for you if you need to be defended from some of these people?
Exactly. It's going to be a huge deterrent to that.
It seems like a lot of this is just going to, there's going to be a lot of unintended consequences. A lot of this is going to snowball.
Yep.
And it's just going to, exacerbate a lot of existing problems.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I see down the line, this might very well promote vigilantism, because if the law is on the side of the criminal, you know, this could go so many different ways. All right. This article also, Breitbart, this was posted on December 27th, 2019, last week. And the headline is a New York state law that allows accused criminals to be freed from prison the same day they are arrested for violent crimes has freed an illegal alien accused of killing a mother of three on Christmas Eve. And in part, the article reads, Jorge Flores Villalba, a 27-year-old illegal alien, according to Assemblyman Colin Schmidt, was arrested after he allegedly admitted to hitting and killing mother of three, Marie Rosie Ozaya, who was a legal immigrant from Haiti, in a Christmas Eve crash on Long Island in New York. And he's quoted as saying, I was driving and I did strike a person. I didn't call the police. I was afraid because I don't have a license. After being charged with felony fleeing the scene of a deadly accident, Flores Villalba was arraigned and then freed without bail on Christmas Day, less than 24 hours after Osai was allegedly killed. Wow.
What has happened to the sense of justice in this country?
Yeah, it's long been destroyed. Long been destroyed. The illegal alien's immediate release is now required by New York by law, after state Democrats, against the wishes of law enforcement and even the most liberal district attorneys, rammed through a series of bail reform measures, and government Andrew Cuomo signed the legislation into law. The law will ensure that suspects accused of crimes deemed, quote, nonviolent, are not jailed before their trial dates and do not have to post bail. You know, and again, we just read that list of crimes to you, and some of them on there are anything but nonviolent, especially the ones that involve sexual exploitation of children. That just blows my mind. And again, if that was my children, and I know there's a lot of people out there, David, that feel the same way I do, that person would not even have to worry about making it to court. You mess with my kids.
Yeah, they're trying to normalize that behavior. I noticed they're also things like bribery and corruption, they're also turning a blind eye to. And who benefits from that? The government, personnel benefit from bribery and corruption, so that's that they're going to be benefiting from this. They're going to be on the and meanwhile, the people caught in the middle are just the regular law-abiding citizens who work for a living.
Yes,
you've got the criminals and the politicians are the people benefiting on the backs of the regular law-abiding citizens.
That's correct. Yep.
And what is this going to do? I mean, we had I don't want to get too much into politics, but a lot of the wealthiest residents of New York State left because of the tax laws in the state.
Yeah.
And what is this going to, how is this going to, this is just going to keep shifting the population to more and more illegal aliens, more and more criminals. And as long as they get those votes, the people like Cuomo, he's always going to be safe. He doesn't have to worry about being robbed or any being the victim of a crime. It's just regular people like us.
Yeah.
I can't see this. People are going to have to respond to this. This is going to have to, these people are going to have to be voted out of office. I can't see them staying in office, or else we're going to reach a tipping point where there's so many of the voters are benefiting from this, the illegal aliens, that they're going to outweigh all the legitimate voters, the people who deserve a right to vote.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's a couple things, though. One, I think they're seeing what they can get away with. They're going to parade in front of people as much as they can get away with. A lot of people are not going to be aware of this until it affects them directly, you know, until a burglar is returning to their home to investigate their own crime scene or something terrible happens. And then maybe they'll decide to wake up and start caring, you know. But I think that a lot of people just aren't aware of this. A lot of good people that would be appalled at this just aren't aware. So, again, we're hoping, even if you disagree with the kind of information that we normally talk about, ladies and gentlemen, this, especially if you're a New Yorker, this really, really has the potential to affect you profoundly in a negative way. So please, you know, if not this particular presentation, look at the links that we'll provide for you, and please share this with everyone in your family, your friends, and just help to bring the awareness of this situation to light, because this is insane.
And Doug, here's another thing. I did not know that this was up in front of the New York State Legislature. I think this caught a lot of people off guard.
Oh, sure did.
And this has happened a few times, like in California, when some baffling laws got passed and no one was paying attention to it, because we don't really have a media that covers this sort of thing anymore. So I would suggest, if you're listening to this and you live in another state, and you think, well, that's New York State, well, take a look at what kind of laws they might be trying to pass in your state.
Yeah.
Before it's too late.
Absolutely.
Before you've gotten where we are. Try to see what these legislators are up to. And this is what can happen. You could end up in a society, you could end up in a state that supports the criminal class, and at the expense of the working class.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what you just said. You nailed it right on the head there, David. He's absolutely right, ladies and gentlemen. And again, the fact that people are accepting of this, I think other blue states are going to follow suit with this. You know, but not to worry, because New York State just outlawed plastic bags. So, you know, really, ultimately, there's nothing to worry about.
Plastic straws, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Got caught with the plastic straws.
This, just from yesterday, this was posted, CNYCentral.com. Again, I'll provide the links. The headline reads, "Man charged with manslaughter in connection to July stabbing, released from jail." Albany, New York. The man charged with manslaughter in the stabbing death of an Albany woman was set free without bail Thursday after facing a judge. Well, that hardly seems like a nonviolent crime. 52-year-old Paul Barbaratano was released on his own recognizance. The body of 29-year-old Nicole Jennings was found dead in a Brevator Street apartment in July of 2019. At the time, Barbaratino was also found in the apartment with self-inflicted stab wounds. He was charged with manslaughter and remanded after his arraignment last year. On January 2nd, he faced a judge and was then released on his own recognizance after recent bail reform laws that began on January 1st. That's another thing. You notice they do this right around the holidays when no one's really paying attention, yep. You know, when everyone's busy with family or, you know, just doing the general holiday thing that they also do. And that's when a lot of these laws get rammed through.
The DA's office says any future release decisions would be up to the court and would have to align with the new law. Well, that means it's not up to the court, does it? I don't understand. The DA's office says any future release decisions would be up to the court and would have to align with the new law. Be up to the court as long as it agrees with what the the Cuomo in the legislature says. Mm-hmm. Isn't this seems like a violation of the separation of powers. I thought the court and the legislature are supposed to be two different things. Where the court's supposed to have the power to make these decisions itself, but you have the legislature deciding for the courts ahead of time what who isn't dangerous.
Yeah.
Yep. Without even knowing who these people are. And this guy stabbed a woman, and then I don't even know why he had some self-inflicted. I wonder if he was trying to make it look like he was also a victim. I don't know what that's about, but
just as an example, I mean, this law just passed, and it's got law enforcement all across the state very worried. This is from our local newspaper here, which is awful, by the way. It's the Observer Disgrace. I'm sorry, Observer Dispatch. Does it even show the date when this is posted? It was recently, probably last week. November 21st, actually. So, a month ago. And it reads in part, well, the headline is, Sheriff joins officials across state to protest bail discovery reforms. And in part, it reads, Oriskany, Oneida County Sheriff Rob Macchial, actually, David, I know him, I mean, not, we don't, you know, hang out and play cards, but I know the guy very well going back many years. I used to wait on him years ago at a job I worked at when he was still a police before he was a sheriff. And he was always a nice guy. He's a good guy. Anyway, he joined dozens of law enforcement officials and prosecutors from five central New York counties to speak out against state bail and discovery reforms Thursday morning at the Oneida County Sheriff's Office in Oriskany. Macchial was critical of the passage of the reforms through the state budget, saying that it had not included local law enforcement and prosecutors in its development. And he said, quote, none of us here are going to disagree. The current justice system needs reform, he said, but this is not the way to do it. The changes to New York State's bail laws, which take effect January 1st, mean those charged with most misdemeanors and nonviolent felonies, as well as certain burglary and robbery charges, cannot be held in jail on cash bail. Instead, a defendant will be issued an appearance ticket to return to court. Yeah.
This seems like it's a topic that we will be revisiting to see what the see the unintended consequences of this.
I just look at it as a potential disaster, you know.
Do you feel more or less safe now, Doug? Now that this has happened.
Well, I definitely don't feel any safer. That's for sure. I mean, this is pretty ridiculous. I mean, now some of the crimes that are on that list, I could understand, you know, like, say possession charges, and you don't have intent to distribute to children, but now on that list, selling controlled substances to kids, no problem.
They say that specifically. That's what's so appalling.
But involving kids in sexual acts, that's just disgusting. I mean, crimes like that, you should be held without bail, with no possibility of getting out till your court date, in my opinion. But, you know, yeah, I just think this is unprecedented. And, you know, again, all across the state, you've got law enforcement worried about this, and they're expecting 125,000 criminals each year to be just released. But the thing that really gets me the most is the criminals being allowed to investigate their own crime scenes and given lists of potential witnesses. What the hell? What the hell is that? That's going to deter people from getting involved, like you said.
It's going to make the Law and Order episodes pretty interesting when they got the criminals right there alongside them investigating the crime scenes.
Yeah, right. Oh, man. So, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, again, for our listeners outside of America and outside of New York, thanks for bearing with us. We'll be back to discussing our regular topics next week. But this is one that David and I just felt was important to bring to light. And we're hoping that our friends and family in New York will take the time to listen and to share this with other people you know in New York and any blue state, really, because we do have a feeling that, they're coming. Don't worry, we'll be released.
Yeah.
Right away. So
we'll be back in just a moment.
It's our hope that
good timing, though.
That you'll, share this with your friends and family. and really take it into consideration. Educate yourself, and you know, really get up to speed on this. This is kind of crazy, you know.
If it can happen here, it can happen wherever you are, you're listening to
I would think that other blue states are really going to follow suit. So, you know, pay attention, ladies and gentlemen, be alert. And any final closing thoughts there, David?
Doug, I just think 2020 is just starting, and and here and the news is already already at its craziest.
Yeah,
and
we're just getting started. Yeah,
and I think at least between this and some of the other topics we've been discussing, like UFO disclosure, advances in facial recognition technology, I think we're not going to have any shortage of topics for the coming year.
No, me neither. In fact, I think they're going to probably get more and more bizarre as time goes on. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for taking your time to listen with an open mind. As always, David and I really, really appreciate it. So thank you for that. We give you our warmest wishes for the new year. We hope this finds you all well. Thank you very much for taking your time again. This is Doug Michael, and until next time, walk in peace.